Hello, here we are.
Hey.
So it is our second Work at Life show. And while we wait for a few people to hop in and join us, we could talk about the weather because over here in DC, it's snowing. I'm miserable. I don't like snow. I'm waiting for it to be summer and the beach. But Sonia, you're in Argentina,
I'm
so.
in Argentina and it's actually been raining for like the last week. It's summer. I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. It's humid, but it's okay. They say one more day and then it's gonna be back to sun. So I'm counting down the moments, just embracing the clouds and the beauty of them.
Yes, well, I'm very jealous. I would much rather be in summer rain than freezing cold snow. But yes, so Work at Life show. I'm Maddie Grant. I am a culture designer and a culture consultant. My company is called Propel, and I'm here with Sonia. Sonia, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Sonia Lucina. I am one of the leaders at Question Pro, leading the workforce business unit. And my passion is to make people happy in life, and particularly happy and passionate at work.
Same. So Tanya and I decided a few weeks ago to start this live stream show where we would just talk about a bunch of different workplace related topics. There are many, many, many that we can think of that are worth discussing, but really about how to ultimately be more empowered, more energized. Just more invested in your work, and not only just you as an individual, but how organizations and companies are working towards those goals too, and not just because it's cool and good and nice, but because it's actually good for business and good for the success of the enterprise. So, that's ultimately what we're really going to connect the dots with, over the course of this series of chats is how to really get much more practical and business oriented with these kinds of things related to helping your employees, really be fully invested in and passionate about their work. So one of the things we do is every week we start with a data point. So I will turn over to Sonia for this week's data point.
Yeah, so speaking of energizing, loving what you do, one of the things that we asked the US workers this week is how they're feeling. And I reflect a lot on my life and draw parallels and what I like to do in research to some of my experiences. And I remember, I mentioned in the last episode, I have a 2.5 year old, and when he was 8 months, I was traveling from Argentina to London, taking him with me because I had a speaking engagement, and I didn't want to leave him by himself. He was too little, and I was meeting my parents there, and it was this big trip. And I remember a lot of people asking me, like, but how? Like, I mean, it's 14 hours, and you're taking a newborn, nearly a newborn, and how are you going to do it? And I remember one of my coping mechanisms was, I know when it's going to end. And he's such a good baby, but even if something happens, even if, he's fussy on the plane or is crying, or, even if it's a tough trip, it has this endpoint. And I know more or less when we're going to land, and I'm going to be in my parents' arms with him, and it'll all be worth it. And that's it. Well, that coping mechanism hasn't worked that well for the pandemic, because here we are in February of 2021. And I'm still not so sure, maybe a little more optimistic with the vaccines, but kind of just trying to get through things. And so one of the things as we continue to get through work, to get through life, we wanted to check in on the US workforce and ask, how are you doing? And the first question we asked was about burnout. And I think you're seeing a lot more around people's feeling of well-being, stress, how are people handling it? And so first, I'll go ahead and share my screen and share some data. And then Maddie and I are going to discuss just some ideas around what does this mean and how can we maybe change it. So we went out and asked 600 people, how often do you feel burnout from your job? And this is what we found, that 36% of people said very often, and 46% said sometimes. So doing some quick math here, that's 82% of people that feel burnt out from their job. And only 18% of people are saying, you know, actually, I'm okay. And so when you think about those statistics, it's quite alarmingly high. And so we thought, okay, but on the opposite end, how often are you feeling energized? You know, are people still feeling that passion, that devotion? What does that look like? And here was some comparative data that we found. So if you look in the red, more people are actually feeling burnout from their job than are feeling energized by their jobs. And actually, 18% of people said that they never feel energized by their job. And so in preparation for these shows, Maddie and I have a call and we discuss this data. And in some ways, we thought, you know, it's been a really difficult year. And so we didn't expect rainbows and unicorns, but wow, this is really tough. And so what we wanted to do is just chat around, well, you know, what do we do? So we're looking at this information. Obviously, there's a way to improve things. How? So Maddie, what were some of your thoughts or some of your recommendations to the people joining us on this show around, hey, if you're feeling burnout as well, what are maybe some of the things that you would recommend that people do to start to feel a little better?
Well, first of all, what I thought was actually really interesting. First of all, the 18% that never, ever feel energized by their job, you gotta get a new job. Like, it sounds flippant, but I really, truly mean that. Like, in this day and age, there's gotta be ways to get out of the jobs that you hold on to only because of the paycheck. You know, and get in, because you spend so much of your time. And now, I mean, if anything, we've learned that you're spending even more of your time than the 9 to 5, right, in your job. And so many years of your life, hopefully. So there's got to be ways to find the right fit for you where you feel energized at least some of the time. And then the other interesting thing was how high the numbers were for both burnout and energized. So it's very possible that it's kind of cyclical. There's a yin and a yang. There's, you know, you feel energized when you're working on exciting stuff, and you feel burnout when you're not getting the results you want, or you're stressed out by, you know, interpersonal conflict with other colleagues or other departments or whatever the case might be. Like, there's an ebb and flow to that. And that's actually, to me, really human. You know, we're not happy all the time and we're not depressed all the time, hopefully. You know, we have a natural cycle of ups and downs. So thinking about the workplace in general, you know, how could an organization kind of take into account those two sides of that coin? And I think, well, there's lots of ways. So, and I would love to hear from anybody watching, you know, in the live stream, certain ideas around that. But one very simple tactic, just to throw one out there, is for leadership to say, to ask, you know, how are you doing at your daily huddle, you know, your staff meetings, you know, just to ask the question, how are things going for you? And yes, it takes a few minutes out of the meeting, but especially during the pandemic, we've started seeing this. You know, you would never ask that question before in your, you know, general team meeting, but now it's the first question. Like, you know, tell us, you know, how, like, even if it's like a one word, you know, one word for how you're feeling right now as you come into this meeting. And you don't have to say any more about it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to give your whole life story, but you can say, I'm tired today, you know, and just leave it at that. And it brings a little bit more humanness into it.
Oh, I think that makes a lot of sense. I saw we have a few more people joining, so I will take a moment right now to quickly reintroduce our show, and then I'll
Yeah.
piggyback off what you were saying and share some insights too. So for those of you who are just joining us, welcome to the Work and Life Show. Maddie and I get together here every week. It's our second week this time around, and we talk about work, we talk about life, we share some of our experiences. We always bring a data point to, you know, that we've collected over the past few days. So hot off the presses, today we are discussing burnout and energy at work and showing some results that, you know, there's maybe a really great opportunity for us both personally to move the needle and for organizations to help their people. My name is Sonia. I work at Question Pro. I'm one of the leaders of the workforce business unit. I am an organizational psychologist, and my life work to date has just been focused on making people happy in life and making people really happy and energized at work. Maddie, do you want to take a second to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So similar passion, but I'm a culture designer and culture consultant. And so what I want to do is show how organizations can use culture to really bring out the best in their workforce, not just because it's a good idea, but because it's actually, it results in better success, better business.
Thank you, Maddie. So going back to our discussion around what can organizations and what can people do, actually in preparation for today, while we were collecting data, I saw, I don't know how many of you know or have heard of Arianna Huffington, and she is a big proponent of getting rest, and she had this whole sleep movement, and she wrote a quick post, I think it might have been on LinkedIn, that, hey, you know, if you take one weekend off, it doesn't mean that you've necessarily fully recharged. So it's being, as individuals, being very mindful of what we can do ourselves to actually help strike that balance, to help not feel burnout. And it's not always easy, because one of the things that happened over the last year is that a lot of our coping mechanisms that we've relied on for many years got shaken up, our environment, our circumstances got changed. And so maybe what worked for us before is a little more challenging today, but it's taking that balance around taking time off to rest and doing it consistently, finding that balance during your workday. And if you find yourself working every waking hour or always being on with your phone, taking a back step back and saying, you know, is there a more effective way for me to set boundaries? Does my employer really require this, or is some of it a byproduct of me just, you know, feeling really stressed out and uncertain about my job? So can I approach my leader or my manager and have the conversation to, you know, reset expectations? A big thing that I talk with my dear friend Al Adamson about a lot is capacity. And how much can we handle today? So there are additional stressors today that maybe we didn't face a year or so ago. And to be able to embrace that and understand, this is how much I'm able to do. And for today, maybe that's okay, because I do want to balance my mental health and I do want to balance my well-being. And if I continue to push myself, it is going to have these negative repercussions. So it's really, on the one hand, taking a look at ourselves and saying, what can I do as an individual to set better expectations and to regain some control? And I get that some of these things sometimes are easier said than done, because we are living in a difficult time and a lot of us really want to hold on to our jobs and want to do the absolute best that we can. But I do think we have to be very mindful around that balance, that sometimes the trade-offs that we make in the short term can start to have mental and physical impact on us in the long term as well. So as soon as we can, find how we're spending our days, day to day, how much time we're taking off, what our support network looks like inside and outside of work, I think is really important.
Yeah, well, I think what's very interesting about the pandemic is I think a lot of organizations are slowly but forcibly shifting towards a more results-oriented mindset, because everybody's at home. Everybody has kids in the background or pets, you know, or plants or whatever. And everybody's working strange hours depending on what these other concerns are at home. So on the one hand, anecdotally, and we definitely want, we should get much more concrete data on this, but anecdotally for sure, it becomes like, you know, it doesn't matter when you do your work, you know, it's the results that you show since we're all remote now. But on the other hand, and I think that's a good thing, right? That's something we've been actually been striving for quite a long time. But on the other hand, the burnout issue is now 24 hours, you know? Like, I mean, I was up at 1 a.m. last night, you know, writing some stuff because I didn't have time before that. Like, I literally, and of course, I'm a night person, so not a big deal for me, but I'm feeling kind of groggy. Like, that's still, you know, an hour later than I would normally go to bed. And it's because of just snow related, you know, things that messed with the schedule yesterday and whatever. I mean, there's always something, but the issue of burnout, if you're potentially on, like you mentioned, even with your phone, like potentially on, you know, at least 18 hours a day, then that becomes just even more worrisome. And then there's, when you're not in the office, there's sort of nobody to really necessarily see how tired you might be except yourself. So, but at the same time, I feel like there's important ways that organizations should be paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you started to mention this earlier, the idea in the conversations and the meetings and bringing it up proactively. And I think there are a couple of really important things that I wanted to tease out of there too. One is that people oftentimes have different level of comfort in how they share things. So if you're in a group meeting, even virtually, and you know your leader comes and says, "Hey, how's everyone?" Some people might say, "Oh, the kid kept me up all night last night. Like, look at the bags under my eyes." And other people may be more reserved and say, "No, everything's okay," even if they were awake with, you know, all kinds of issues. Like, there are different levels of comfort. And so I think for organizations and leaders to almost think about, hey, can we talk about it as a group, talk about it in a one-on-one, and then maybe do more private anonymous surveys or somewhere where people are exchanging that information where they don't have to look you in the eye and say that, because maybe they have to overcome something to be able to do that, but it doesn't mean that they don't have a space to share that information. So that would be if any of you tuning in are in, you know, have teams or colleagues or are in HR or people team where you have the ability to impact that, that would be one of my strong recommendations is to find different channels to meet people where they're comfortable. And the other, I think, huge one that I've seen is just transparency of leadership. That when you are in a position where you're making an impact, when you are in a position where people are looking up to you, it's so important to be vulnerable and open too. Because if you are, that'll lead by example and it'll create that culture and set the space where it's easier for people to say, "You know what? I'm tired too." So when you don't have to be the first one to say it, all of a sudden, like I can't imagine how many times in my life I've gone through a situation where I felt so alone and more even probably bigger things than burnout. And I just thought, ah, and I would say something to a friend. They would say, "You know, that happened to me 2 years ago." And I thought, "Ah, I had no idea." Like, and all of a sudden I just felt this huge weight off my shoulders and being like, "Okay, so what did you do? How did you deal with it?" And so just those small things. And again, in organizations, people, hopefully more and more people have really strong team networks and peer networks, but a lot of people still very much look up to their leaders to set the tone. And so I would encourage all of those individuals that know that they have people looking up to them in their organization, regardless of the title, if you haven't, take that first step, be open, be transparent, be vulnerable. You have no idea how many people's lives you can impact for the better.
Yeah, so true. I 100% agree with that. One other thing that's a potentially a good example of an idea of how to do this is actually this is, I was hesitating because we do this in my, I'm a dancer and we do this in my dance classes, but it's a one word check-in. So we just started a class with a, you know, and it's just one word. So like I said earlier, no need for any explanation, but it's a way to help people who aren't comfortable sharing it's like an exercise, a little brain exercise, without people having to share their whole life story.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. So it's all about, in some ways, trial and error. It's not about necessarily getting it right the first time, but opening up, checking in on people, having those conversations, learning what works for your people at the time, and just making it better. I know we're almost at time. I can't believe how quickly it goes by. Just we wanted to just quickly share. We're also playing around with the format of our live show in the sense that we're always taking recommendations from the people that join us around what's most impactful for them. And so one of the things that we wanted to share on top of our data point, our experience, were a couple of articles that were recently published by Harvard Business Review and by McKinsey. We'll leave you with these. We won't summarize them or recap them now, but each one of them touches on the things that we discussed today as well. One is showing the vulnerability, checking in on people, and how do you have that conversation with your leaders when you are burnt out and when you're not really feeling that okay anymore? And then what are some of the things that organizations can continue to do that could be relatively low-hanging fruit to really create an even more positive environment, especially as we continue to, you know, think about how do we shape culture? How do we potentially have these hybrid workplaces? What makes sense? I think it's a really good time for organizations to consider some of these additional ideas. So
yes,
that's it, yeah. I think, for us today.
So as always, we really, really want your topic ideas. We have a million, but we want yours as well. So send them in through the social media where you see this posted. And we will definitely take up some of those topics in future shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And also we have a couple of our colleagues that do these shows as well that we wanted to mention. One is on Fridays at 11 around research, our really dynamic friend Dan, that also shares different data points, best practices that he's seen. And Ken, who has a CX show at noon on Eventbrite on Wednesdays. There is a link in the comments where you can find them. But I just wanted to let you know that those amazing guys are spreading their knowledge with the community as well. So thank you so incredibly much for joining us. It was really, really wonderful to have you here, and we'll see you again next week. Same time, same place.